And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
In this episode, I'm rebroadcasting one of the most popular episodes from 2020. This is episode 181, Thriving at 50 Plus, How to Reinvent and Rebrand Yourself. I spoke with Wendy Marks in this episode, who is the author of Thriving at 50 Plus, The 7 Principles to Reinvent and Rebrand Yourself. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made 6 career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 312 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. In this episode, I'm rebroadcasting one of the most popular episodes from 2020. This is episode 181, Thriving at 50 Plus, How to Reinvent and Rebrand Yourself. I spoke with Wendy Marks in this episode, who is the author of Thriving at 50 Plus, The 7 Principles to Reinvent and Rebrand Yourself. I spoke with Wendy at the very beginning of the pandemic, but I think what she had to say is even more relevant to today than it was then. Let me read you her bio. Wendy Marks is a marketing and branding authority sought after for her ability to turn virtually unknown people into brands of distinctions. As founder and president of Thriving at 50 Plus, her proprietary coaching program is designed to help baby boomers discover their point of differentiation, then rebrand and retool themselves while finding their purpose and meaning in life toward a more rewarding second act. Drawing on Wendy's 30 years' experience in marketing, journalism, public relations, and counseling, her programs provide a unique mix of marketing and PR savvy, blended with psychological wisdom. She will take you from a stage of uncertainty to assuredness, confidence, and success. She is the author of Thriving at 50 Plus, The 7 Principles to Reinvent and Rebrand Yourself. This episode is sponsored by the Career Pivot community, but more on that later. Now, on to my interview with Wendy Marks. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have the real joy of having Wendy Marks on the podcast, who wrote the book Thriving at 50 Plus, The 7 Principles to Reinvent and Rebrand Yourself. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm really excited to be talking with you today.
Well, you sent me a copy of the book a month or so ago, and I'm usually fairly skeptical of people who write books like this, but I liked it. So good job.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled. Thank you, Mark.
Well, I like books that are simple and actionable. Number one, what got you to write this book?
I have actually, Mark, wanted to write a book for years. Actually, not on this topic. For a number of years, I ran a PR company and a few times tried to write a book on PR. Just serendipitously, a professor at Georgetown University, who I had met online, reached out to me. He runs a book writing program, and he asked me if I knew any recent graduates who wanted to be part of his program. I didn't know any, but I asked him if he would accept a, quote, mature student. And before I knew it, I was part of his book writing program. And I was probably three times the age of most of the people in the program. But the good thing about the program was that it put me in touch with an earlier love of mine, personal branding and reinvention. For a number of years, I had written a column on personal branding for Fast Company. And in fact, in my PR business over the years, we had branded many of the executives that we worked with. We didn't call it that, we called it thought leadership, but in a sense, it was a subset of personal branding. I have always been fascinated with the topic, probably because I've rebranded and reinvented myself multiple times. But I know from my own experience, as well as working with a number of executives over the years, the power that comes from rebranding and reinvention. It truly is transforming.
A lot of it is being able to simply knowing what your story is and being able to tell it. You have seven principles. I want to cover the first five, which we won't cover personal branding, because I think the first five are really important. And the first one is having a growth mindset. What is it and why is it important?
A growth mindset, Mark, is actually a term that's been popularized by the Stanford psychologist, Carol Dweck. And she distinguishes between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. People with a growth mindset are flexible. They're willing to learn. They adopt a beginner's mindset. They're not as afraid of what people think, and they're not afraid of failing. May I share a little story with you about
this? Sure, go ahead.
A few years ago, I attended a high school reunion. And you may have had this experience, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have had it. When you go to the high school reunion, you're a little bit shocked because suddenly the star of the class is doing all right, but isn't running a company or a country. And the person who always got in trouble, the kind of the class clown, is now a distinguished physician and academic. And somebody you barely remember has written a fantastic book. And what I found in my research distinguishes these people from the ones that are just doing so-so is that they have this growth mindset. They're not resting on their laurels. They're not afraid of making mistakes. They simply go forward and go after what means something to them.
Yeah, it's rather interesting. I went back to my 45th high school reunion this last fall, and I've barely ever been back. I grew up in New Jersey, and I've barely been back in 45 years. So it was yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. So the second principle is being uncomfortable. So what do you mean by that?
If you're going to make a change, you're going to look at reinventing yourself. You have to step out of your comfort zone. Otherwise, you're not going to move forward. As I know you've reinvented yourself a lot of times, as have I, you have to start doing things that you haven't done before. You also have to start thinking of yourself a little differently. And all of that can make your hands sweat a little bit. You can start feeling anxious, but you need to push through that or you won't get to the other side.
Yeah, one thing I've found is even though I've felt uncomfortable, I've always kind of made the move. And it's that ability to say, okay, I'm going to do this anyway, even though, ooh, this is uncomfortable.
That's exactly the case, because it isn't a feeling that feels good, but you have to know that if you accept that, it will start feeling better. You just have to go through that stage, that awkward stage.
Okay, the third principle is willingness to learn. Tell me about that.
I especially love this principle because it all has to do with curiosity. And when I think about this principle, I like to think of a professional athlete. And a professional athlete is always tweaking how he performs. I like to think of a tennis player because that's my sport, or I try to be my try to do sport. And a professional athlete will continually tweak his game, figure out how can he serve better, how can he have more angle shots. He's never satisfied. He or she always wants to improve. And then I look in this case at myself, and I have to admit I don't apply this principle to my tennis game. I go out there, and unfortunately I make the same mistakes. I'm out there to have fun, to get a little exercise, and I don't think strategically about my game or figure out what I've done wrong and correct it, which means that I'm playing the same way all the time. And if you do that with a career or your life, you're never going to move forward. You're going to be locked in place. And that's why this willingness to learn is so essential.
Right now, I'm working on a blog post right now on industry disruption, which we know the COVID-19 is disrupting so many industries. And you're going to have to spend some time and expand your horizons. I was just on a webinar with a bunch of aviators. The aviation industry is being destroyed, and it's not coming back for 3 to 5 years. And so what do you do when you're a mid-career pilot and you've been laid off? And it's finding transferable skills and never stop learning.
Exactly. And unfortunately, that's the case with a number of industries. Somebody was speaking to me the other day about financial services. And so much of that industry is getting automated. Plus, with COVID-19, it's unfortunately being changed. And people in that industry, as well as many others, will have to change.
Well, it's my claim that with COVID-19, it is exposing vulnerabilities in so many industries, supply chains, our government institutions, our taxing authorities, our leadership. It's just exposing vulnerabilities all over the place. We're all going to have to adapt, and most likely for many, we'll have to rebrand and shift. The next one is near and dear to my heart, which is finding your purpose. What do you mean by that? And then how do you do that?
Finding your purpose is all about finding. It's not what you want to do. It's what you almost have to do because it's your passion. It's what animates your life and makes your soul tick. And a lot of people, when they're thinking of a career, they think about, okay, where are the jobs? Instead of thinking about as well, what really excites me and is going to be something that I want to do and I truly crave doing. And as far as how do you find your purpose, it's not something that is handed to you on a silver platter. You don't ask the gods to give you your purpose. It comes from truly assessing and looking inward and discovering what in the past, for example, may have given you joy. Going back over your career and thinking about what at times really got you excited, you couldn't wait to do it. and that will help you find your purpose. And once you find your purpose, that makes all the difference in the world. It's kind of like the dam's breaking. You can move forward. You suddenly have all this extra momentum and energy.
This episode is sponsored by the Career Pivot Membership Community. The Career Pivot Membership Community is a group of people from all over the U.S. and Canada with diverse backgrounds. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out, figure out what they want to do in the second half of life, and then make it happen. Many have made changes that they did not know existed or was possible when they came to the community. They learn from each other and broaden their horizons on what was really possible. Let's hear what Sarah had to say about being part of the community.
So, for example, when I was first exploring the idea of moving into higher ed and I was scheduling informational interviews or just networking meetings with people, I decided it would be helpful to have business cards. I was sort of struggling with how to, you know, what kind of verbiage I should use. And it seemed like I needed two different ones and whatever. And I was able to post what I was thinking, you know, my sort of designs on the community website, and people were gracious enough to give me really helpful feedback. So those kinds of things were really helpful and just sort of kept me moving along. Like, I feel like if I wasn't in the community, I could easily have stalled out at many different points along the way. And so it sort of kept my momentum going and kept me hopeful.
You can't just join the community. I bring people into the community every few months in groups. You can sign up for the waiting list, so when I open the door for new members, you'll be notified. If you're interested in learning more about the endeavor and sign up for the waiting list, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now, back to the episode. But what if I don't know what my purpose is? And I claim for a lot of us, when we started our careers, we became actors. We played roles. I personally turned myself into something I was not. I quote, I became an extrovert. I became a geek that could speak. But that's not who I am. But I got paid a lot of money for it. And I agree with you, the fact that going back and looking at your career and when have you been the happiest, do you find that people can do that on their own? Or do they need help?
Oftentimes, people need a career coach. And in fact, I've, in my latest reinvention, have expanded my PR services to include coaching services for people, especially 50 and over, that want to reinvent and rebrand. It is difficult to do that on your own because we're all locked into a certain image of ourselves. And it's hard to really assess what's going to give us that joy. But with an agile coach, you can really look inside yourself and find it. One of the people actually that I interviewed in my book was very down and out and depressed. And she herself went to a career coach. And the career coach asked her, what gave her joy in life? And this woman just sort of looked at the coach and wondered what she was talking about. She was so depressed, she could barely get out of bed. Nothing gave her joy. But the coach asked her to think about it. In doing so, she realized that what she truly loved was to dance. Now, she hadn't thought about dancing in years, but through the coach's help, that came up. The coach gave her an assignment to book a dance lesson. She did that. She ended up winning some dance competitions. It didn't become her career. It was a vocation or an avocation, but it opened her up so that she could then find her purpose. So that sometimes what gives you joy is not necessarily going to be your end purpose, but it's going to cut through the ice that we kind of enmesh ourselves in so that we can truly explore what we want to do. So it's often incremental and in stages.
Well, there's no question. Sometimes you just need to try stuff. In fact, I've got one story of I worked with my former intern, Elizabeth Rebe, and I'll put her interview on in the show notes. She was a closet creative. In other words, she took all our creativity and put it in a little box and sealed it up and put it underneath her bed. And I told her to just go out and do creative stuff. And she looked at me and she said, huh? I said, it's called chaos theory, right? If you randomly do things, you will more likely find something that you didn't know you'd like to do, rather than trying to follow some order. Just try stuff.
That's something else. That's a really key point, Mark. And it's something that I emphasize in my book, that you're not just going to sit on the couch and figure out what you want to do. Oftentimes, you have to take action, just like I did, actually, in writing my book and coming up with the topic. All of that crystallized once I took that action and joined that book writing program. Just sitting around, I probably would have done absolutely nothing. And sometimes you take that action and it doesn't work. So you take another action until you find what does work.
Yeah, very often people are looking for that sign, the sign that, of what they should do next. And the answer is, and therefore they do nothing. And the real answer is just go do something.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And the last one I want to talk about is storytelling, which a lot of people really struggle with. So tell me about the storytelling piece.
You need to be able to link what you want to become to what you were and tell it in a coherent fashion. We're all trained to understand stories. And where I think a lot of boomers, including myself from time to time, make the mistake is that we just present a series of facts, that I was born here, I did this, I rose to this level, and it doesn't have an arc, it doesn't tell a story, it's not something that people can wrap their hands around. But if people want to understand what you're about, you need to show it and tell it as a story. Let me give you an example that I mentioned in my book of what a story is and what a fact is. And this is courtesy of the novelist E.F. Forrester. He mentions a fact is the king died and then the queen died. A story is the king died and then the queen died. The king died and then the queen died of grief. And just adding that grief, you get a sense of a story. Without that, it's just some facts that don't mean very much. And in telling our story, we want to get people excited and quickly to understand what we're about. The other mistake that I think people make when they're reinventing themselves is that they don't link what they were with what they want to become. So somebody might have been a lawyer and now wants to do work and for a nonprofit, but the lawyer doesn't tie in his legal work to the nonprofit. What the lawyer might say is that I've spent years helping people with legal issues, and now I want to take that expertise and apply it to the nonprofit world and help them be as successful as many of my clients were. So you're linking what you were with what you are doing or want to do. And that makes something that's logical and easy to understand.
Yeah, it's interesting. I run branding sessions within my online community. And I recently had a woman who'd been a disk drive engineer, mechanical engineer, and she's at a point in life where she wants to do social good. I'm a natural storyteller. it's easy for me. And she's just going, I said, you need to tie what you used to do into what you want to do. So the people understand you. Why would a mechanical engineer want to get into food and healthy nutrition? And there were things in her past that when she did things directly for people, it made her feel good. One thing, first thing she did in her career was dealing with orthopedic knees or, you know, artificial limbs and getting them fitted properly. And she glowed when she talked about when people would come back and say, oh, that made a real difference in my life. And she wants to go back to that. And I will make a mention. I am listening. I'm just about to finish a book called Storyworthy by Matthew Dix. And I got that from Dave Jackson's School of Podcasting podcast, that recommendation. And it's all about the art of storytelling. And that's something I think all of us, and I'll put a link in the show notes because I'm a really good storyteller, and I'm learning a bunch by listening to this book of how to tie ideas together. We tend to use and when we want to this and then that, then this, rather than saying this, therefore, or but, and using different conjunctions to tie things together and knowing how to get people hooked on your story. And sometimes that's leaving stuff out.
Oh, that's such a great point.
Right. And so learning, it's an art that most of us can at least get decent at, but it takes work and it takes study.
Yes. I think a lot of people add too much extraneous detail so that you're missing the gist of what the story is about with all that detail. So I loved your point, Mark, about leaving things out.
Well, it's kind of like when I was teaching high school math, I learned about writing standardized questions for exams. And there are these things called distractors. The most famous one is the butcher is 5 feet 7 inches tall. What does he weigh? Well, he weighs meat. The 5 foot 7 inches is a distractor.
Yeah, that's good. And, I like that.
And we can do that in our storytelling. Mm-hmm. Give details that people don't need to know.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to have to steal that butcher story. I love that.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of funny stories from my 2 years of teaching high school math.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So if there's one thing you want the reader to walk away with from reading your book, what might that be?
I think that the biggest misconception people have about reinvention and rebranding is that it's binary, that it's either snap your fingers simple or it's unattainable. And what I found with my over 8,000 hours of research and writing my book is that it's somewhere in between. It's not simple, but it definitely is possible, and it's truly transforming. And I share a story, which I just love in my book, about George Costanza from Seinfeld fame. And George loses his job, and he's thinking, what should I be? I love movies. Maybe I'll be a movie projectionist. And I love eating. Maybe I'll be a chef. And obviously, that was the extreme case of people just thinking they can be anything in the world. And as we talked about, the reinvention has to be linked to what you were. You don't just become a fighter pilot or an Olympic swimmer, but you're going to be becoming something that draws on your past skills, what you love to do, and some of your unique values. But doing that, while it's not snap your fingers simple, done right, truly will transform you and ensure that you have a flourishing next act.
That's why we call this career pivoting, is making incremental changes. One of the things I've always said in all my career changes, every single one of them has been a half step career change. And that is, I had one foot in the old world, I had one foot in the new world, and there was always a relationship that took me across.
That's probably why all your career changes were so successful too, that you...
Yeah, so it's a realization that you're not going to do it alone. And so suddenly if I say I'm an engineer and I want to go be a pastry chef, I'm not going to likely do that one step. Not if I have to maintain an income, at least.
Right, exactly.
Wendy, it's been great having you on the podcast. If someone wanted to reach out and touch you, and of course, buy your book, how might they do that?
Mark, they can find me in two ways. One, if anybody wants to buy my book, it's called Thriving at 50 with the plus sign. Just type in that, Thriving at 50 with the plus sign on Amazon, and my book will pop up. And I hope you find it valuable. Anybody wanting to reach me can go to my website, which is Thriving at 50 plus also. But in this case, because you can't use the arithmetic plus sign, the plus is written out. So it's Thriving at 50 plus PLUS.com, and you can find me there. And you can also feel free to email me at Wendy at Thriving at 50 plus, again, PLUS.com. And I look forward to hearing from everybody.
Well, Wendy, thank you for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Mark, I just love talking with you, and thank you so much for having me.
Hope you enjoyed that episode. Wendy's book is very practical and actionable, which if you listen to this podcast regularly, you'll know I think this is critical for these types of books. Take a moment, go to careerpivot.com, sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You will get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. When you subscribe, you will receive my latest white paper, Ageism, The Last Acceptable Bias. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community and join the waiting list, which can be found at careerpivot.com/community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-312. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places where podcasts can be found. In fact, this podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.